Well, this was the Milwaukee Bucks theme song in 1977. Green and growing, the Bucks don't stop here. But the Bucks are struggling these days, and the arena that they play in, the Bradley Center, is also rusting and leaking and showing its age. And this week, Bucks owner and former U.S. Senator Herb Kohl said he's looking for investors who would keep the franchise in Milwaukee.
Bringing in new ownership, if it's new ownership participants, if it's done in the right way, will reinvigorate the franchise and make our future in Milwaukee stronger and more secure. I would like to also hope that it will have an impact on what is already a positive beginning to the development of a new facility downtown.
I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 8 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Thursday, December 19th. So how important is it to keep the Milwaukee Bucks in Milwaukee? Do you think that taxpayer dollars should help finance a new facility in the downtown area, a new arena? We will discuss what's happening with the Milwaukee Bucks, and we'll welcome your questions at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. We are going to start our conversation with Wisconsin Public Radio's reporter based in Milwaukee, Chuck Quirnbach, who covered Herb Kohl's news conference on Tuesday. And Chuck, you went to the game last night.
Oh, I stayed for more than a quarter or so. I interviewed some fans before the game, and it was interesting.
Yeah, it was a double overtime loss. The New York Knicks beat the Milwaukee Bucks by, I don't see the score, 107 to 101.
Yes, Milwaukee is now 5 wins and 20 losses for the season, and the reason I left after the first quarter was not because I was protesting the game or something. Other stories to write, like that mascot story. But, the season is not going well on the floor, and now here comes Senator Kohl with the announcement that he's going to sell all or part, potentially, depending on what kinds of offers he gets of the team, and move on to other things or retirement or something.
Yes. Now, Herb Kohl has owned the Bucks for nearly 30 years. Why is he saying now is the time to look for these investors?
Well, he is in his late 70s, and he is saying that, listen, he doesn't know about the next 5 or 10 years, or really do any of us, but he doesn't know about the next 5 or 10 years. He wants to leave the team in good hands, wants to insist, if he can, that the team stay in Milwaukee. I think most people take him at his word for that. He, you know, didn't have to buy the Bucks long ago to really help to keep them here at the time that he bought. You know, I think he, as part of his legacy that he's thinking about, wants to make sure they stay here and in some sort of decent condition.
And he says he's also likely to pony up some Bucks for a new arena.
Oh, he's been saying that for a number of years now. The debate has started a couple of years ago, and he has held off, sort of the last person in kind of thing, waiting to see how much, if anything, comes in the way of public money and certainly other private industry money, and then he'll announce something somewhere along the line. Presumably, he is a wealthy man, of course, and could probably set a figure now, but if he sells part or all of his interest in the team, he would presumably have more money to put in if he chooses to do so. As he says, he's a single individual. We don't know what sort of heirs he has and friends or whoever he plans to leave the money to, but he's saying he'll put a substantial amount in the new arena if there is one built.
Yeah, he certainly put a substantial amount into the Kohl Center here on the UW-Madison campus, $25 million. Any idea if this arena, I mean, how much does a new arena need, and what is the thought about whether public money will go into it?
Well, a task force has started. He has some interest already and some support already from the local Chamber of Commerce, which believes that it has it's good business to have a working big arena drawing fans and drawing publicity to the city and so on. So there's this sort of this core of support, but a lot of details need to be worked out. And in the last few weeks or months, some of the counties surrounding Milwaukee have tried to go on the record quite strongly and say, listen, no public money from here. If Milwaukee County wants to put in money, that's up to you. But the collar counties, the suburban counties, are putting their foot down, remembering the controversy over Miller Park, I guess, and saying no. So this task force is then looking at ways to raise money and whether there would be money raised for a variety of social and cultural and athletic operations within the city. If you nick the taxpayer for something, in for a dime, in for 50 cents kind of thing, that is being debated. I think this task force is going to be working off and on over the next few months and maybe a year, and then there'll be some recommendations.
Yeah. So what kind of reaction did you get to this news from the fans last night?
Well, we should say that, first of all, there were 11,000 fans, and that may be a generous number listed because there are large sections of the upper deck, or large areas of the upper deck. There are only a few people in each section. The lower deck did not look all that crowded either. And in the old days, Milwaukee Arena, back when that green and growing theme was around, that was the capacity, 11,000. But in a 18,000 seat arena, things looked rather empty last night, but people were friendly and willing to talk. And I think most people, at least the anecdotal information I have from the ones I spoke with, seemed okay with Senator Cole potentially putting part or all of the team up for sale. A gentleman by the name Alfonso Williams especially liked hearing that Senator Cole would insist new owners keep the team in Milwaukee.
I wanted to find a chance for the Bucks to stay here in Milwaukee because, you know, they brought a lot of success and history to the city, you know. And seeing them moving them out, I'm definitely against it.
Mm-hmm. And Mr. Williams went on to say that he thought a mix of funding would be good. Again, the percentages and equations are things to be worked out, but he thought that the public had put a lot of money in ticket sales and other support to keep the team here, but it was time for the private sector to come forward. Other fans had a little bit different idea. Susan Wilson from Brookfield and one of those surrounding counties, Waukesha County, was quite insistent that the new arena, if there is one, be totally privately funded.
Yeah, I don't think the taxpayer in general should have to pay for the wants of a what's basically a business. And I understand that they are able to get some tax breaks for it, but at the end of the day, it is run as a business, and this arena operates as a business.
Yeah, so we're hearing some of the debate that went into the Lambeau Field renovation, where there was a mix, I think, up there, and then all this going back just 10, 12 years ago, 15 years ago, to the Miller Park debate, which involved the five-county sales tax, which is still in effect, by the way, and what all that large controversy that happened then, as we recall. Yeah. No pun intended for Senator Petek.
Right, that's true. Well, Chuck, thank you very much. We'll keep in touch with more developments on this story.
Thank you.
Chuck Kornbach, Wisconsin Public Radio's reporter in Milwaukee, who covered Herb Cole's news conference on the Milwaukee Bucks this week, and also attended the game in part last night to get some fan reaction. We're going to continue talking about what's going on with the Milwaukee Bucks, the prospects of funding and building a new arena, how the state may get involved, and more with Don Walker, writer of the Business of Sports blog for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, who's also been covering this issue extensively. And we welcome your reactions and your questions. Are you a Bucks fan? How would you feel if the team left the city? Do you think that there ought to be some sort of public assistance in building a new arena? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.
The Bucks don't stop here.
Milwaukee Bucks owner and former U.S. Senator Herb Kohl says he is committed to keeping the pro basketball franchise in the city. We are talking about Senator Kohl's plans to find investors to keep Milwaukee an NBA town. The prospects of funding and building a new arena. This week, Governor Walker also said that the state would provide whatever assistance it could. And we're welcoming your thoughts and questions. We welcome in now Don Walker, writer of the Business of Sports blog for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Good morning.
Good morning.
So give us some idea. What's your assessment of the significance of Kohl's announcement?
Well, Chuck spoke to it a few moments ago, his desire to solidify and reinvigorate, I think he said, the Bucks franchise. But I think also there's a political dimension here to consider, and that is I think the senator wanted to jumpstart and get his voice heard in terms of what to do with the Bucks in the future, both in terms of the franchise itself and, of course, just as important, getting a new arena built for the team. The task force that has been put together to discuss a number of cultural and artistic and entertainment capital needs in Milwaukee County, of course, it's not just a new arena, it's other buildings, but for Senator Kohl, his goal, his ambition is to get a new arena built. So I think it was time for him to speak up, let the Bucks' voice be heard, and re-solidify or maybe reinvigorate the conversation and see what will happen next.
So we'll get into details as we go along, but give us the short version of the predicament that the Bucks are in. Why is there all this talk about them possibly leaving Milwaukee? What different factors are at play here?
Well, a couple of things. Number one, the Bucks are, I believe they are the smallest market franchise in the National Basketball Association. So from that standpoint, I suppose they're always a target. Number two, and no particular order, they do play in an aging arena. It is hard, I know, for many people, especially who have visited the Bradley Center, the BMO Harris Bradley Center, that this place could possibly be aging and obsolete. But sports people will tell you that is exactly the case. The building opened in October of 1988. It's 25 years old. It was built for professional hockey, not professional basketball. And it shows the seating bowl is arranged in such a way that there are fewer seats in the so-called lower bowl than there are in the upper bowl. Sight lines are not great for basketball. It's just not a very good venue for basketball. And so the Bucks are arguing we need a new arena to help us develop some revenue streams, new suites, new opportunities to sell our product in order to make it in the National Basketball Association. That is front and center, really the primary need that the Bucks have. And they say without it, the National Basketball Association will move the team. By 2017 is the year the Bucks will have finished off their current lease with the BMO Harris Bradley Center. And the NBA is saying at that point, the community either needs to have a new arena or certainly one that they're building. And that's a fairly short time span. And so there's feeling a little bit of pressure to start acting, but I think a final decision still is many months away.
Yeah, and the Bucks are losing and attendance is down, and that can't help either.
Well, that's an interesting point. Before the season began, Senator Kohl said that he was not going to put any pressure on his players to succeed this year. Well, lo and behold, there is no pressure. As Chuck pointed out, the team's record is 5-20, one of the worst in the league. So they're clearly not playing well. You know, NBA purists would say that that's not necessarily a bad thing this season. If they finish last, that improves their chances of getting the number one pick next year. There are some very promising players playing in college right now. I'm not sure they're of the stature of a LeBron James when he came into the league, but certainly a few players would instantly make the Bucks a better team should they sign with the team.
Help me understand how the Bucks want to bring in more revenue, need to bring in more revenue, or the NBA will move the Bucks. How does that work?
Well, the NBA, of course, is really the primary decision maker for any team, and their goal, the commissioner's goal, and there will be a new commissioner early next year replacing David Stern, a gentleman named Adam Silver. Their primary goal is to hand value of the NBA franchises. And if there is a laggard, and in this case that would be the Milwaukee Bucks, they are always looking to relocate. There are a couple of cities that are in the market, Seattle being the most prominent one, but also Las Vegas has emerged as a potential franchise town. And so the NBA is saying, your team can't succeed without a superior product, without a decent building to play in. And they are clearly dictating terms, again, setting this sort of 2017 deadline for the team to be in or building a new arena.
Boy, I didn't realize that. So Herb Kohl, the owner, can't say, tough if we're losing money. It's up to the NBA.
Well, he mentioned at his news conference the other day that I think he said something along the lines of, well, the NBA has patience, but it is not the kind of patience that lasts forever. The NBA has made this public. Commissioner David Stern has said this about the Milwaukee Bucks, and Senator Kohl is merely repeating what he says he was told by the league.
Let's go to Mark in New Berlin. Hi, Mark.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. Let me start by saying I love going to Bucks games. I love going to Marquette games, Admirals games down there at the arena. But I'm concerned. I'm hearing a 25-year-old arena is having structural problems. It's not just line of sight and things like that. I'm hearing rough seating, things like that. Who owns the arena? Who's supposed to be taking care of it? Are we going to build another arena and give it to the same people that aren't maintaining the one that we've got right now?
Don Walker?
To respond by saying, first of all, I would not say that the building has structural problems. The framework of the building appears to be in good shape, but recently I did take a tour of the innards of the building, and clearly some of the key elements of any large building, the heating and ventilation, air conditioning, is very old and aging. There are leaks on the roof. There are issues with some of the security doors that surround the building. I mean, they're certainly not insurmountable problems, but the Bucks, or I should say the Bradley Center Board of Directors, is constrained. They don't have a lot of money. To your question of who owns the building, that's always an interesting point. This, of course, was a gift by Jane Bradley Pettit, heir to the Allen Bradley fortune many years ago, to build the building. But the building is technically a state institution. It was created by state legislation. The state of Wisconsin ultimately has responsibility for the building. You might ask, well, why doesn't the state support the building? That was never the intent, and until recently there never was any state support for the building, save for two separate $5 million grants, one coming from former Governor Jim Doyle and one coming from current Governor Scott Walker. So there's been minimal, certainly over the years, state support. As a result, the building is pretty much on its own in raising revenue, and lately it's been somewhat more successful at doing that from various business partners, but they still operate at a very thin margin.
Yeah. We have James on Facebook saying, the Seattle Bucks has a nice ring to it, although if getting a new arena in the Milwaukee area means getting an NHL franchise, I would be all for it. It kind of stinks having to divide your loyalties between the Red Wings, the Blackhawks, and the Wild. So So does that, if we get a new arena, we'll get a new hockey team too?
I would say chances that Milwaukee would attract an NHL franchise are slim and none. As mentioned, the building was first built as a facility for professional hockey. Jane Bradley Pettit's then husband, Lloyd Pettit, a very famous NHL announcer over the years, that was his ultimate goal, was to attract an NHL franchise. It never happened. Fast forward 25 years, I don't see that ever happening in Milwaukee. I don't think there's a strong enough fan base for an NHL franchise.
Well, we're going to check news from NPR and Wisconsin Public Radio, and then we'll continue talking with Don Walker, writer of the Business of Sports blog for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. We are talking about the Milwaukee Bucks and what it's going to take to keep the Milwaukee Bucks in Milwaukee, and wondering if you want the Milwaukee Bucks to stay in Milwaukee, and whether you want public assistance to build a new arena. We'll talk some about what Governor Walker had to say this week about the plight of the Bucks. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@WPR.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We are talking about the Milwaukee Bucks and the prospects of the NBA franchise staying in Milwaukee, and whether or not there should be public assistance to build a new arena for the team. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's coming up on 7:37 on this Thursday, December 19th. What, if anything, do you think state government should do to help? Governor Walker appeared on a sports radio show in Milwaukee on Tuesday, and he said the state may be able to help the Bucks in some fashion because it would be a blow to Wisconsin to lose a pro sports team.
We've helped with the BMO Harris Bradley Center over the last couple of years with some maintenance. My predecessor did the same thing. That kind of helps as they tread water, figuring what to do next. But in terms of what can the state do long-term, you know, that's wide open.
So what questions do you have about this situation? Would you be in favor or against any sort of public taxpayer assistance to build a new arena in Milwaukee for the Bucks? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@WPR.org or post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. We are talking with Don Walker. He is writer of the Business of Sports blog for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. So let's talk a little bit about that possibility of public assistance for a new arena, Don Walker. This not everybody's in favor of this.
No, that would be an understatement. The surrounding counties, the county boards in Racine, Ozaukee, and most recently Waukesha County, which voted Tuesday night, all have taken stands in opposition to any form of a regional tax to finance both, or either, I should say, a new sports arena or even expansion of Milwaukee's convention center known as the Wisconsin Center. So at least on a government basis, there is strong opposition. I have little doubt that it is representing the views of many of their residents in those counties. And of course, to my way of thinking, this is a bit of a preemptive strike from these county boards, making it known that they are not interested in that kind of talk. But it is clear, though, and Senator Cole certainly made it clear, and the evidence shows nationwide, that any of these large sort of arenas or stadiums that ultimately get built usually have some kind of public support behind them. Senator Cole noted, for example, that in addition to his own contribution that he plans to make, and of course nobody knows but him what that would be, combined with what he described as strong business private support for the arena, may still not be enough, in that he hopes that those two things, his gift and private support, would be sufficient enough to convince governmental leaders to provide some measure of public support. And, of course, the question is, in what way would that be? We certainly have the Miller Park Stadium District tax, 0.1% on sales in the five counties. And that's been around since 1996, but people still complain about it, though they may not necessarily notice it on their bills. But it's out there. So that is certainly one possibility, but no one has specifically come up with a plan.
Governor Walker said, I guess, options are wide open when he was on a sports show on Milwaukee Radio this week. What are the state's options?
Well, I it's funny you should bring that up. I was a little bit surprised by the governor's remarks. I think perhaps it's his way of saying that any idea is a good idea, but it's important to remember that no governor, no mayor, no county executive ever wants to be serving in public office when a professional sports team leaves its city. So he certainly must have that in the back of his mind if he were to run again next year and prevail as governor. On his watch, having the Bucks be in some form of public distress and possibly leaving the city is not a good thing for any politician. As far as what the state can perhaps provide, I suppose there's some possibilities for the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation to provide some measure of loans, perhaps, or something of that nature, selling bonds. Certainly the state building commission has the capability to sell bonds that could raise public money. Again, there would likely be public opposition to that. Certainly there are many needs in the state when it comes to infrastructure, and many people might reasonably think that a sports arena in Milwaukee would not qualify.
Well, we have a number of callers and an open line for you at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Jack in Rice Lake is with us. Hello, Jack.
Hello. I just think it's an outrage that we would, as taxpayers, subsidize a professional sports team who brings in astronomical amounts of money to pay their players. And so from what I hear, we're broke in this state. I know that's not true, but that's the rhetoric we hear. And now we're going to subsidize a professional sports team.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
All right. Well, thanks for that. Don Walker, does a professional sports team, do the Milwaukee Bucks help the Milwaukee region economically?
Well, that's a great question, and it's one that gets asked constantly around the country. If you gather a group of sports economists who study such things, it is with rare unanimous agreement that they will mostly say, I'd say more than 90% of any sports economist who's asked that question will say that a professional sports team, whether it's baseball, football, basketball, or what have you, in fact does not contribute necessarily to the economic well-being of a region. The evidence is not there, they say, and so that is not a factual argument. There is a flip side, though, and I alluded to it earlier when I mentioned that a politician like a Governor Walker or a Mayor Barrett or Milwaukee County Executive Chris Abley, nobody wants to be on watch when a team leaves a community. There is a tangible asset, intangible, I should say, asset that a professional sports team brings to a community. It certainly brings a community together, at least those who are sports fans. But in terms of raw economics, there is not enough strong evidence that sports teams do advance or increase economic well-being.
And let's take a listen to what Governor Walker said on the sports radio show this week about the blow it would be to lose the Milwaukee Bucks.
For Milwaukee and even for Wisconsin, it's important, particularly since we know, or at least our parents and grandparents' generation know about what happened when the Braves left.
Mm-hmm.
There's something equally as important about what happens about losing. And it's one thing if you don't have a team, but if you have a team and somehow the team leaves, there's something that goes far beyond sports to even what it says about a community, what it says to the business community and others out there. And I think that's why it's important we find a way to make this work.
So that's what you're talking about. There's this intangible. Why did Milwaukee lose that team?
Yeah, it's certainly an important factor, and I think the governor is correct in pointing that out. Older listeners certainly will remember when the Braves left Milwaukee in 1966. I would only say one thing, though, specific to the Milwaukee Bucks. The Green Bay Packers are in a class of themselves when it comes to being a statewide attraction. It certainly has a worldwide fan base. The Milwaukee Brewers have some measure of regional support at Miller Park. I don't think the Bucks fall into that category. They are much more of a somewhat local franchise. They certainly get support from fans from as far away as Madison and so on to come to games, but certainly it's not statewide.
Let's go to Mike in Appleton now. Hello, Mike.
Good morning.
Morning.
A couple of points. One, I think Mr. Coles may have found a couple of investors. One is Mr. Ricketts, who owns the Chicago Cubs, a multi-billionaire. The other is the Pritzker family from Chicago, who own all the Marriotts of the world. That's why the two of them, I think, were the presidential campaign directors for Obama and for Hillary Clinton.
I don't know where this is going. Do you, Don Walker, are you aware of these two being already on board with Herb Kohl?
Well, I've certainly heard of both of those business people, but you're right. I've not heard those names come up in conversation at all. Mr. Ricketts is, well, both are obviously very wealthy people. Mr. Ricketts, as in addition to being a businessman, has a full-time job spending, I believe, anywhere, somewhere between $400 and $500 million refurbishing Wrigley Field in Chicago. So I think his plate is full. As for Mr. Pritzker, I know nothing other than what he does for a living. I've never heard those two names.
So we are wondering whether or not you are a fan of the Milwaukee Bucks, if you would support any sort of taxpayer assistance to build a new arena to help keep the Milwaukee Bucks in Milwaukee. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We are talking about the Milwaukee Bucks and whether or not we care if the Milwaukee Bucks stay in Milwaukee. There's a chance they may not if they don't get a new arena. And we're talking about what that will take and the support and or opposition to public assistance for an arena for the Milwaukee Bucks. And welcoming your views and welcoming your questions for our guest, Don Walker, who is the writer of the Business of Sports blog for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, and he's covered this issue extensively. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Anne in Milwaukee is with us. Hello, Anne.
Hi, but I'm in Madison. But I wanted to say that although Herb Kohl is a genuine philanthropist, and the last caller indicated, he probably knows a lot of very, very rich guys who are interested and who would be willing to, you know, to be part owners of the Milwaukee Bucks. We're living at a time when, and the governor has helped with this, when the poor are getting poorer and poorer. There are kids living on $1.30 a meal. Sports is not an essential thing. It's a lot of fun, but I think that we, you know, the public should not be asked to provide money when so much public money is being taken away from, you know, from the average taxpayer. I think this is the wrong way around, and public services should be provided by taxpayers' money, and those are the things that people really need. Professional sports is overpriced. A lot of people are getting very rich on them, and I just don't think professional sports should be at the top of our priorities list at this point. And I think Governor Walker his motto was Wisconsin is open for business. I think he should, you know, take his thumb out of the pie and just be quiet. I'm sure Herb Kohl can find some co-owners.
Thank you very much, Ann. So will Herb Kohl have any trouble finding these co-owners or investors that can take care of this all by themselves?
Well, certainly, I think this is one part of the debate, of the discussion that everyone can probably agree on. There's no shortage of well-invested or wealthy individuals who are interested in investing in an NBA franchise. I spoke to a number of sports brokers this week, and there's just plenty of people out there who would like to own a piece or a majority part of an NBA franchise. So the caller is correct about that. As to the question, though, of how this fits in our priorities as a community, it's certainly a valid point, and the business community here in Milwaukee is clearly sensitive to that. The driving force behind this is the Metropolitan Milwaukee Association of Commerce, which has launched this task force. At the same time, they are doing what they can to address poverty in this community, to address, you know, educational attainment goals and so on. The list, of course, is endless, public safety being one of them. So that's certainly one of the things that this community is going to have to juggle with and determine, you know, what are the priorities. I should note that there is a very effective community organization here in Milwaukee named Common Ground. It has a member of its organization who sits on this capital needs task force, which is studying all this, and they too have an agenda, and their agenda is, if a decision is made to provide public money for construction of a new sports arena, then at least $150 million ought to be set aside to improve the public playgrounds and recreational spaces of the schools in Milwaukee County. It's a provocative plan that they're proposing, and again, it points to that issue of all these sort of competing factions for the same dollar.
Jeff emails, Herb should start by getting a list of the shareholders of the Green Bay Packers and make an initial offering to them, and then supplement that by advertising the sale of additional shares to the residents of Milwaukee. I guess take the Bucks public that way, Don Walker, any chance of that?
You know, I think that is a very provocative idea. I have to admit I hadn't thought of that until you mentioned it. It's probably doable in this state, and that would be very intriguing. Now, whether the Bucks, there are enough hundreds of thousands of people own stock in the Green Bay Packers, as we all know, it's worthless stock, but it does technically grant you to be an owner of the NFL franchise. I don't know that there are enough out there to create that kind of situation with the Milwaukee Bucks. The second large hurdle, of course, would be the National Basketball Association, which might not look well upon the idea of a publicly owned franchise. But I, on the other hand, I wouldn't dismiss it. It may very well come up in the conversation.
Interesting. But then also, though, even with the massive support of the Green Bay Packers and the public ownership, there was still, you know, they still went to the area taxpayers for a sales tax increase to make renovations on Lambeau Field.
That's correct. And that will be retired in a few more years. But in addition to the public tax portion of the renovation of Lambeau Field, the Packers themselves put some money in the kitty, as well as the National Football League, which lent the team millions of dollars to renovate Lambeau Field.
Hey, someone asked Aaron Rodgers yesterday if he wanted a piece of the Bucks, and he said maybe.
Yeah, well, that's an interesting concept, but even as wealthy as Aaron Rodgers is, I'm suspect that Herb Kohl is not looking for people who want to invest maybe $4, $5, $10 million into his franchise. He's looking for people with considerably more resources.
John in Appleton is with us. Hello, John.
Hi. The Bucks seem to be perpetually uncompetitive in the NBA, so I'm just wondering why should we invest in the Bucks if they're not going to invest in themselves and get some competitive players?
Don Walker?
Well, that's also an interesting point. As mentioned earlier, they have one of the worst records in the league right now at 5-20. Over the course of Senator Cole's ownership of the team, I would say his record as a playoff team it has been mediocre. They have not done well. I think the last time they came close to being in an NBA final was the year 2000. But on the whole, it is true that they have not been a highly successful franchise, and I think that will play into the minds of many people as this gets debated.
Yeah. Well, so where do you tell us a little bit of the timeline here and what we can expect over the months to come?
Well, Senator Cole has retained a New York firm named Allen & Company to really reach out and test the waters to see if there are people out there. And as mentioned, there are plenty of people out there who want to invest. Those people will get vetted. Are they really committed to keeping the team in Milwaukee? And I question whether investors are willing to make that commitment, but notwithstanding, that will take many months. It will be done largely in secret, and at some point, I suspect perhaps either late next summer, and I'm completely speculating here, but within a year's time, we may know more about the people or the groups that are willing to invest in the Milwaukee Bucks. And again, that will be a very important day in the future of the franchise.
Yeah, in our final minute, do you expect that there's going to be some public assistance in helping build a new arena?
Right now, I would say the chances are pretty slim. The political culture, the political climate out there is decidedly against this kind of support. But we are in an election year next year. Perhaps when we get past November, perhaps the governor or perhaps his rival, Mary Burke, may prevail. I think the conversation will change after next November, and we'll learn more about that. But right now, I would say it's a very, very big hurdle to climb.
Thank you very much for being with us.
You're welcome.
Don Walker, writer of the Business of Sports blog for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Our Wisconsin Public Radio reporter in Milwaukee, Chuck Wernbach, also joined us earlier in the hour. Thanks to Bill Martins and to Christy Taylor and to Robin Cherry for producing and directing this program. Thank you for listening. I hope you stay tuned. Much more to come. Tomorrow at this time, by the way, we will talk with a guest about atheism in American politics. That's coming up tomorrow at this time. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.